Throughout the galaxy, mankind will call home to a million worlds, each of which pledges themselves to the glory of our Imperium. For the small cost of but an Imperial tithe, the stalwart members of the Imperial Guard, the indomitable Adeptus Astartes, and the multitude of other Imperial forces who make up our military bulwark, will readily lay down their lives in order to safeguard the humble workers and inhabitants of these worlds from the unspeakable horrors of the galaxy who would gleefully drag us to ruin. With that in mind, we must realize that some of these threats pose far more of an inherent danger to us than others. Whilst yes, it is surely to be a dark day if an Orc War has set its course through your homeworld, or if the enigmatic Eldari have decreed that their arcane goals involve the destruction of your hive city. But there is a far worse fate which can be met at the hands of certain foul entities who live outside of our own dimension of reality. Amidst the ever-shifting currents and tides of the Immaterium, sometimes the bounds between reality and that infernal dimension can simply break, bringing forth a terrible warp storm of swirling ephemeral energies, which will lash forth to consume and utterly devastate anything unfortunate enough to be caught in its swell. These storms can greatly range in size, from but a minuscule portal, which may simply drag one individual into the warp before closing, to being of a gargantuan enough scale that it carves a blazing scar across the entire galaxy. An unfortunately common occurrence is for an immense warp rift to materialize within the bounds of a single star system, ensnaring every orbiting planet within its terrible and hellish grip. The unfortunate souls who reside upon these worlds will surely not survive this cataclysmic event. They will find themselves irrevocably dragged into damnation, having been made victims by the insidious and malevolent warp entities which had fixated their gaze upon the unlucky world. It is truly difficult to conceptualize a fate more dreadful than to be trapped upon a planet engulfed by a warp rift. The world itself will be utterly deformed, twisted, and crushed into a truly hellish realm, fit for none but demons themselves. But for the citizens, a horribly grim destiny awaits them. Their souls will become naught but toys to be ripped apart, mutated, and devoured by torturous entities who cannot be bargained or reasoned with, for their singular goal is the consumption of our very humanity, and with their prize in sight, they will show no mercy. Even if, by some miraculous intervention, the forces of the Imperium manage to battle and drive off the demonic onslaught before sealing the warp rift through some forbidden method, then the citizens' lives will still remain beyond salvation. The Inquisition will condemn the world to death, for the taint of chaos can never be allowed to spread, and even the mere existence of demons is a most closely guarded secret within the Imperium. Thus, if the cataclysmic flow of the Immaterium is to shroud a world in warp fire, then there is truly no hope in sight for those poor souls who once lived upon it, and they can only pray to meet the Emperor at the hands of a merciful Inquisitor, as opposed to having their souls utterly devoured by a capricious demon. With this dreadful curse in mind, we are to investigate the tragic tale of one Imperial world which sadly met its doom within the maelstrom of a warp storm. This shall be the chronicle of the damnation of Torreus, a once thriving and bustling hub of humanity, which suffered a fate so horrific and so horrendous that the only solution possible to the inquisitorial agent sent to oversee this event was the utter destruction of the world by means of exterminatus. In the years preceding the demonic outbreak, Torreus stood as a shining example of Imperial prosperity. The world was inhabited by 3 billion loyal servants to the Emperor, who found their homes within the bustling capital hive of Gortys City. the fertile agri region known as the Sakhmet Fens, the expansive manufactorum of Auseklis, and hundreds of other small settlements and towns dotted across every continent. The planet's surface was blanketed by lush, verdant forests, which stretched for miles, serving as the backbone to the vibrant and flourishing ecosystem of Terraeus. A vast myriad of exotic creatures called these regions home. Walking through the forests would be heralded by a symphony of bird song, chirping insects, and from the communicative calls of animals, who were simply thriving in their expansive ecological homes. Rivers flowed with crystal clear waters from tall mountainous peaks, which would sparkle under the temperate midday sun. The great Nilakanthia Sea mirrored this splendor, harboring a hugely diverse array of life, ranging from schools of iridescent, shimmering fish to vast whales and sharks, with rumors within the hive cities suggesting that there was even a mythical whale which could soar over the island of Kallippus upon the day of Sanguinala. The hive cities themselves were architectural wonders of imperial engineering, with its towering spires standing as testaments to the citizens' reverence towards the emperor. Over a billion citizens called Gortys City their home, each of whom were enmeshed within the rhythms of their daily routines of industrious labor, bartering for goods and services and their dutiful service to the Imperium. At the heart of their city was the temple of the Emperor Sanctified, a vast ecclesiarchal monastery whose facade was utterly adorned with intricate golden reliefs, and within its holy confines it contained an immense sculpture of a golden eagle symbolizing the Emperor in all his resplendent glory. The planet simply hummed with activity, with hundreds of ships landing and departing each day to offload goods and to engage in hurried trade within the busy markets. The streets echoed with the chatter of workers and with the laughter of children who would play and frolic within whatever bright open spaces they could find. Come nightfall, the magnificent blazing light of their sun was replaced with an awe-inspiring canvas of celestial beauty, with constellations twinkling and sparkling like a waterfall of precious gems, shining against the inky blackness of space. Imperial crafts would dance and soar through the void, with their engine trails painting the heavens with elegant streaks of phosphorescent brilliance, providing the citizens of Terraeus with a constant light show should they choose to cast their gaze into the comforting darkness of the night sky. Now, even after centuries of studies, the Inquisition has still not produced a comprehensive theory as to what exactly caused the resulting warp storm. But there were several insidious events which preceded its arrival. In the week which heralded this cataclysm, most citizens across the planet began to feel an unnerving and gnawing feeling within them, with cases of paranoid anxieties reaching a near unheard of level for this once tranquil world. The astropathic choir of Torreus normally existed as a calm and reliable, albeit slightly mysterious, group who would commune with the nearby worlds to orchestrate interplanetary operations within their system. However, one by one, they slowly, then violently descended into insanity. They began vomiting blood and foul black ichor, all the while screaming of a burning ring of fire which they prophesied to soon envelop the planet. Their frenzied visions told of a coming darkness within the flames, which would hold no mercy towards any who were cloaked by its shadow. They screeched of a mountain bursting to ruin, and that a red giant would build his throne upon its peak, simply to look down upon his hellscape. Amidst dying convulsions, their unraveled minds forced them to speak of a towering feathered half-man who would descend to transfigure their homes into his own personal domain, in which the citizens of Torreus would be trapped for all time. Their combined psychic screams echoed out through the planet, with citizens finding themselves afflicted by insomnia due to the sheer discordant cacophony which reverberated itself through their minds. The populace rapidly succumbed to an existential feeling of sheer terror, which gripped at their very hearts and souls, leading many to abandon their workplaces to seek shelter from the unseen storm which was soon to come. Suspicion and paranoia racked the hive cities, with neighbors turning upon neighbor, friend turning upon friend, and entire trusted communities falling to outright conflict over this unknown force. Some sought guidance and shelter within the bastions of ecclesiarchal faith, but even in these sacred halls, they were met with true horror. The colossal stone statues and busts of imperial saints, which were dotted across the temples, began to weep with thick black sludge, and their faces, which previously showed compassion and resilience, had morphed into a visage of agony and torment. Even the magnificent golden eagle within the temple of the Emperor Sanctified dripped with acidic blood, with its corrosive touch searing through the thick marble floors, leaving trails of unnatural smoke from where they fell. The once soothing hymns of the priests had taken on a new sound. They now echoed as a mournful dirge, driving even more of the civilian populace into a state of sheer terror. None were safe from these unrelenting waves of fear. The presiding imperial commander of Toreos, known as Gorst Vankler, was attacked by his daughter, who, in a ravenous fit of rage, attempted to bite out his throat as he tried to console her. The streets were overcome with riotous mobs demanding answers for the sudden, inexplicable horrors which had befallen them. These were scarcely contained by the Adeptus Arbites, since their precincts had been overrun and abandoned after succumbing to a plague of carnivorous toads emerging from their rest facilities. Even the once peaceful farms of the Sakhmet Fens were afflicted, with workers being forced from their homes by hordes of rabid groxes who had ominously been born with the heads of a fish and the tails of a lion. Mere days after these events appeared upon Toreos, reality finally buckled and the warp rift tore itself open. Across the entire world, the once serene blue skies were rent asunder by a blazing ring of purple flame, which pulsed and shimmered in a most unnatural way. The orbital station of Theosophos was utterly destroyed by the roaring flames, condemning 1.3 million imperial souls to death. From this infernal halo, molten comets of exotic metals rained down to the surface of Toreos, setting the treasured forests ablaze, with the flames rising into a multicolored tornado of burning energies. From this fire did the first demonic entities emerge. Servants of Tzeentch effortlessly clawed their way through the flames, spreading out through the blazing forests to enact some terrible plan for their master of fates. The isolated mining town of Kleist was buried in a foul dirge of sludge, which burst forth from its mine shafts, and from this thick pool came hordes of putrescent demons of Nurgle, who pulled their way into reality from the disgusting bubbling depths. Demonic portals sprang open across the entire world, allowing troves of twisted and grotesque demons to crawl and slither out upon the grounds of Toreos. The air itself crackled with dark energies, and the ground perpetually trembled as the planet bore the weight of the warp upon its rocky surface. To make matters worse, the collective psyche of the populace finally shattered, resulting in mass hysteria and a sacrilegious level of bloodshed within the hive cities at the hands of once loyal imperial citizens. The desperate defense forces valiantly took up arms against the masses of demons and deranged civilians, but this was all to be in vain. Ludsgun fire lit up the slums as Imperial guardsmen attempted to contain the writhing demonic creatures from spilling out of their depths, with soldiers standing shoulder to shoulder against the oncoming tide. Despite their tenacity, the trembling defensive lines quickly folded. The ground beneath their feet seemed to shift and transform into a gaping maw, swallowing them whole, before spitting out a torrent of bleeding skulls and broken bones. Upon the highest mountain peak of Mount Magathon, the very earth exploded in a world-shaking eruption, unveiling a gargantuan volcano. Here, the ancient bloodthirster, known as Ankh Arak, summoned an army of 50,000 guardsmen who had fallen under the spell of Khorne, all of whom were butchered by the great demon. The mountain itself became pocked with great skulls, which each vomited forth rivers of blood-soaked lava, solidifying this area as a gruesome tribute to the blood god. Blood letters swam through the fiery flow to pick out skulls and bones, which were piled into a vast crucible to be set ablaze. The resulting crimson smokes billowed out across the entirety of the planet, suffocating any poor souls who were caught within the smog. Within the capital of Gortis City, the Imperial forces were utterly eviscerated by the swarms of demonic entities who besieged them. A fearsome demon prince of Tzinch, known as Tzis Trixazar, headed the invasion, bringing with him a host of pink horrors, screamers, and greater demons, who fell upon the defenders with deadly intent. Commander Gorst Wenkler and his personal guard retreated to the deepest bunkers of their command center, but physical structures are simply irrelevant when one is to oppose a demonic force. The thick ceramite walls themselves twisted into portals to allow the demons to spill through, all of whom followed the intricate and devilish plan of the foul demon prince. The commander, utterly desperate and mentally broken, threw himself to his knees, promising the demon the lives of his people if he himself was spared. But this was met with naught but cacophonous laughter. Tzis Trixazar invoked a ritual which ripped the cowardly commander to shreds, with his final screams being drowned out only by the growing roar of their citadel as it started to shake. The entire hive city trembled before it collapsed in on itself, only to suddenly rise anew from the ashen ruins as two towering crystal mirrors echoing the demonic entrance to the library of Tzinch. Between these crystalline spires, the departed souls of Tereus screamed and flickered before coalescing into a colossal golden sun, with its ephemeral light blinding any who dared to gaze upon it. The relentless onslaught of the demonic incursion left no corner of Tereus untouched, as devastation gripped the entire planet with merciless fury. The once idyllic island of Calippus, within the glittering Nilacantha Sea, had contorted into a gaping maw, which swallowed up the entire ocean before regurgitating it out in a tidal wave of blood that spilled across the world's surface. Meanwhile, the farms of the Sakhmet Fens had sunk into a colossal swamp, from which an ever-devouring wave of carnivorous plants and vines emerged to ensnare and drown whatever poor unfortunates remained. Any who had fled to the plains and grasslands were hunted down by screaming demonettes, riding atop vicious seekers, who cruelly screeched with gleeful laughter as they mercilessly beheaded all who were encountered. Their lithe frames exuded an aura of seductive delight to some, who were lured closer to the riders, falsely seeing them as a potential source of salvation. But they were only met by the demon's sadistic intent. They reveled in the thrill of the hunt, enjoying nothing better than to chase down those utterly defenseless and hapless fools, whose souls would soon serve as a twisted gift to Slaanesh. Epidemius, the foul talisman of Nurgle, materialized upon the desecrated soils of Tereus, with his corpulent form oozing with such decay that the ground beneath him broke out into sweltering welts of pox-infested cysts. He unleashed his grotesque minions to round up millions of surviving humans from across the planet, who were dragged back to a smoldering brass prison to become subjects in his morbid experimentations. Amidst a cloud of pestilence, he infected the captives with tens of thousands of new diseases, some having been born upon the plague grounds of Torreos, and some having come directly from Grandfather Nurgle's great cauldron. Every symptom was meticulously recorded and catalogued with his legion of dutiful Nurglings, silently providing their very skins to be used as the parchment for his sickening chronicles. Once documented, he no longer had use for the infected individual, so the poor soul was to be fed to the ravenous swarms of slobbering Nurglite beasts which stalked the brass prison's halls. Just as quickly as the storm appeared, it began to falter. Sensing their waning powers, the demons entered into a frenzy and unleashed their most heinous acts against the few survivors. Every single living soul was slaughtered with reckless abandon, with their souls being eagerly devoured within a huge forge which had been constructed within the flaming skies of Torreos. The final dying screams of their victims were etched into the pulsing earth, forcing their last moments of anguish to be immortalized for all of time. Then, shortly after the rapturous slaughter, the warp storm simply flickered out of existence, pulling the demons back into the warp and leaving Torreos suspended in orbit just as it had been from before the fall. That being said, there was nothing upon its surface which was reminiscent of its prior days. Inquisitorial forces were quickly dispatched to uncover the mystery of this world, and it is here that they found evidence of the sheer level of damnation which had occurred. For the citizens of Torreos, the entire incursion was perceived to have only lasted but a short few weeks. But in actuality, the planet was shrouded by the warp storm for over 300 years. For the Inquisition, they found nothing but ruin where prosperity had once stood. Warped cathedrals of chaos jutted from the racked surface, showing the horrified faces of imperial citizens having been trapped within their walls. Great fissures carved their way through the landscape, filled with the bones of billions, all of which pointed towards a vast brass citadel standing atop the volcano of Mount Magathon. The petrified remains of humanity still stood amidst the rocky desolation, all of whom were frozen in fear, cowering from the great torment which had tortured and twisted them. The remains of towns and cities had reformed themselves into a vast labyrinthine spiral of maze-like alleyways, all of which echoed with pained screams of anguish from the departed souls. Shadows of humanity were seared into the walls, each of which silently writhed and contorted as a vestigial flicker of their final agonized days. The skies were haunted with black crows possessing blood-red eyes, which stared directly into the very souls of the inquisitorial agents who stalked their domain. Under the malevolent gaze of night, the dead moon of Torreos revealed itself as a grinning purple entity, which ever bared its gargantuan fanged maw towards the planet. The stars themselves no longer could be read as constellations, and instead they bore the true names of the demonic entities which had brought ruin to this world. Harrowing screeches of bestial creatures pierced the silence of night out in the rocky wilderness, but none could be encountered, leaving the inquisitors to question whether or not they truly stalked this world, or if they were simply a horrifying remnant of what terrors had transpired here. The inquisitorial party quickly returned to their fleet, relaying what information they had gleaned to the residing Lord Inquisitor, who saw fit to render judgment upon the damned world. She declared that the only compassion she could provide to the departed souls was to order an exterminatus, and with her decree, the remains of the planet were reduced to ash. The nearby planets of the sector underwent a rigorous investigation, with their populations being evacuated to inquisitorial cells for interrogation in a desperate bid to root out any potential sources of chaos taint. As the fleet finally departed the desolate world, the Inquisitor recorded one final message with regards to the damnation of Torreus.
Chaos had left its taint in every root, stone, and atom. Torreus heaved and wailed in its agonizing death throes, and we ended its misery. There was nothing else that could be done. And may the Emperor forgive us for not preventing this damnation, for the souls of its citizens can never be recovered.